little button there. All right, we're getting going now. We like to praise the Lord. Thank everybody for tuning in tonight, Landmark Baptist Church. It's March the 6th, Wednesday night service. We got some people wanting to sing. We're going to have a quick word of prayer and get started here tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your children. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for a place called heaven, Lord. The Lord, you went away prepared for us. One day, Lord, we won't have to worry about what we was talking about before we started recording. Lord, I have to admit that caught me off guard. I thank God for Kentucky. I know what we heard, Lord, probably coming our way, but Lord, we're glad that it's a place called heaven, Lord, where there be no things, Lord, like that to worry about. Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, if all are sick tonight, Lord, help my wife, help her arm to get all healed up. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Brother Mark, Sister Kay Hurt. Pray, dear Father, Lord, you'd help them with their health. We got to talk to Bonnie just a little bit about them, and they're still struggling, Lord, with their health. We pray you help them, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, for Bruce. I pray, Lord, Father, for Keith. I pray, Lord, Father, for Brother Mitchell, Lord Bray. Lord, we pray, Lord, for that cancer he mentioned, Lord. Pray for Phyllis. Pray for her sister, got stage 4 cancer. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for her daughter. We pray for her son, Mike. Lord, got kind of water damage with his house. Lord, we just got so many people, got so many needs. We pray for Sister Judy, Sister Geraldine. They're probably listening in tonight. Pray you send a blessing their way, Lord. Father, I pray you bless the singing here tonight. Bless the teaching of your word. And Lord, bless, I pray, all your churches, Lord. Help them, Lord, trim the wick. And help them, Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, let the light shine. I know it's getting dark. I know, Lord, things have kind of taken a turn for the worse. But we pray, dear God, Lord, your churches, Lord, will sing out loud. And Lord, I pray that joyful sound will cause people want to come. And Lord, either sing with us or come in and listen to the singing. Lord, we had good singing at the nursing home today. We thank God for that. And I pray, Lord God, you bless the singing and the teaching of your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think that a couple of people are going to sing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Miss Lucy, you
going to
come up and help me?
Time to sing.
Jesus, save your life.
Acts chapter 13 tonight, and we'll be speaking again about salvation, and this is the sixth one of the I Can Help You series. I want everybody to get saved. I can't save you, but I'll tell you what, I can help you find that one that can save you. His name is Jesus. Amen. He came this world to seek and to save, and Paul said he come in here to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. He can save the chiefest of sinners. He can save old common sinners like you and me. Amen. But in Acts chapter number 13, and we'll have daylight savings time this Sunday. Want to give you a heads up on that. So I think you set your clocks ahead, spring ahead, and fall back in the fall, spring ahead in the spring. So don't forget about the daylight savings time this Sunday. Set your clocks an hour ahead. I got a blessing. Let me talk about last night real quick. Last night, Brother Andy and his wife Shelly Watson, they brought us food last night at the nursing home, and it was wonderful. But they had some sweet fellowship with us. Of course, Shelly and Dottie, they was talking about cooking and canning and gardening. Me and Andy, we was talking about working on cars and painting and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed that fellowship, really enjoyed that food. Matter of fact, the Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, and it was a real blessing. I thank them for that. And then today I got a blessing beyond measure. Me and my wife got to go to church together, which has been a long time since we've got to go to church together. I mean, we go to church, it's just she went to Scottsville, and I went either here or Columbia or Bethel. But today me and my wife attended church together at the nursing home there over on Signature Healthcare over on Westwood Street. We got to go to church together today. Brother Ray Woody come by there at 2 o'clock, had a church service. She said she wanted to go. You know, I got right on board real quick. I'll tell you right now, he taught out of Mark chapter 3 on the withered hand. I looked down at her hand is in a sling, and it's strapped to her thing around her waist here. It's strapped so she can't move it. And I saw her rubbing on that hand while he's talking about that withered hand. And I praise God for that, being able to be in church with my wife today. Like I said, we're in Acts chapter 13. And we'll be teaching what I call expository tonight, which means I'll just go verse by verse. We're going to go through 13 verses here tonight in Acts chapter 13. And in this tonight, it'd be a politician or a public servant. He gets saved in these 13 verses we're going to talk about. But there's a whole lot involved in this man getting saved. And that's the way God does it. I mean, I went to church Sunday night, and a preacher, Brother Jeff, got up there to preach, and he did a good job preaching on Jacob, like, where is the blessing? that you promised me. He's holding the clothes of his son, Joseph. And he said, I'll go to my grave mourning. But anyway, he got to see Joseph alive. And it was a good job. But good job preaching. Good message preaching. But I noticed his son knelt down there on the chair right there where they're sitting at there and stayed there during the whole invitation. And after the service, I went over and talked to him. I said, what was you doing? Was you asking the Lord to save you? And he said, yes, I was. And I said, don't let up on that. You keep seeking the Lord. But you know, God is, you know, He's the only one can save. It's not like man can save anybody. Jonah said, salvation's of the Lord. And it is. But God got me good and lost one day. And then God got me good and saved one day. And it was His doings. Amen. It's what we're trying to talk about here tonight. Acts chapter 13 verse 1 says, now there were in the church, it was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manine, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So in this one verse right here, we see there's several prophets, several teachers together. They're in church in Antioch. And the next verse tells us what they're doing there. But the two that we're going to be talking about tonight is mentioned in verse 1. And it's Barnabas and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, verse number 2, and fasted, this is real important, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. This was a God-called work, and they didn't know exactly what it was just yet, but they were obedient to what the Holy Spirit beckoned them to do, and they were given a commission by the Holy Ghost. Said, I've called them. Verse 3, when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And, you know, they before they sent them on their journey, they fasted and prayed on them, laid their hands on them. They're getting ready to get into some pretty serious opposition. You know, it's not like you can just go with somebody to the Lord. There's an adversary out there, a devil, and he opposes every effort you do. If you've ever tried to win anybody to the Lord, tried to witness somebody, maybe tried to give them a gospel tract or something, the Bible says that that old devil, he'll stand there to resist you. I keep these in my pocket. Why you got them, Brother Eddie? I got them for when I need them. A good illustration is I was on my way to work one night, and I stopped to get some gas at Consumers Filling Station, and I was in my old Ford truck, and little old John come out there, 18-year-old, red-headed boy with a black leather jacket, come out there and said, what you need there, Brother Eddie? I said, fill her up. And actually, he didn't say Brother Eddie. He said, what you need? I said, fill her up. I was on my way to work at Donnelly's, and he filled my truck up with gas, and while he was pumping that gas, Holy Spirit kind of spoke to me about giving him a gospel track, and I was trying to be, I guess, as proficient as I could, so I was trying to find the right track to give to an 18-year-old. I'm looking in there, you know, trying to find what would be appropriate. Something like this right here, you know, something real simple. I found something like that, and I found that track. And I got out of my truck, and this is the way it works. I walked up to John. He's pumping my gas. And I had that track in my hand. And I got to John, and I said, and before I could get a word out, a man stepped between the gas pumps there and started talking to John. And I made the mistake of thinking, well, I'll talk to him the next time. John died that night. And I didn't know that. Had I known John was going to die that night, that boy that stepped in between them gas pumps is kind of like what we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. But there'll always be opposition. There'll always be, you know, you're in a hurry. There'll always be, you think, well, they won't listen. You know, I'll do it another time. Well, in this case right here, I want you to notice what we just read right here. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they've been commissioned. And they've got a work that the Holy Ghost has called them to do. In verse 3, when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, I didn't know John was going to die that night. He didn't know he was going to die that night. And I don't even know that that young man that stepped between the gas pumps knew he was going to die that night. But John, that night, he went, he had him a Harley Davidson motorcycle, had him a girlfriend, you know, just 18-year-old, full of life, also, you know, not really thinking about eternity, and I don't guess I did neither when I was 18. But he went to a party that night, and John had a gun. And he's drinking, he got that gun out, and his girlfriend said, "John, put that gun up before you hurt somebody." And John stuck that gun to his head and said, "It ain't loaded," and blew his brains out. Had won the chamber. But that's kind of the way the devil works. And this situation we're talking about tonight is kind of like that. We just don't know. I mean, I come out to go to church tonight. Soon as I stepped out of the house, I heard sirens going. And it's going pretty fast, like it's a police pursuit. I could hear them. I mean, they're burning the road down. I got to the end of my road, and here come Haywood fire truck, and then I met two ambulances and first responders, lights flashing, police cars flashing. You just never know what somebody is going to be called out. The old song says, maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Someone will be called out to face eternity. We know not who it will be. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Well, I missed the boat on old John. I'll tell you what, buddy, I've got his blood on my hands. Just like here, I felt the Holy Ghost compelling me to give John a track. Now, if I could have gave John a track that night, and then the next day found out he died, I could say, hey, I don't have no blood on my hands. I've done what God told me to do. So pay attention here tonight. It says, when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The reason they sent them away, they had a work. The Holy Ghost said, I've got a work whereunto I've called them. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Caesarea, and from thence they sailed unto Cyprus. The confirmation of their departure, they set sail for Cyprus. Verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. This young man, John, he ministered to them. A lot of the men of God in the Bible, they had like servants, you know, that ministered to them, washed their hands, tended to them, get them things they needed and stuff. Well, John, he's not being commissioned, but John's with them here. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, and this is important, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. And this opposition was a false prophet. Now the Holy Ghost has done commissioned them, done called them for a certain work, and as soon as they get where they're supposed to go, they meet opposition here. Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who was called for Barnabas, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now I want you to know the Holy Ghost called them and said, I got a work for them to do. But look here, this deputy, this lost man, this deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. That's the mission that they're supposed to accomplish. They've got the opposition in verse 6, but now they realize why they're sent. This man wants to hear the word of God. We're begotten by the word. You know, one plant's the word, one water's the word, but God gives the increase. We'll hear this deputy desiring to hear the word of God. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there, even right now, that want to hear the word of God. And that's why we're here. I'd be in heaven right now if there wasn't lost people down here. And you would be too if you're saved. But all of us are down here. We're living epistles. We're His witnesses. We're His ambassadors. We're the ones, you know, that help people find the Lord, help them get saved. Well, anyway, here they are. And He desires to hear the Word of God. But here, this man's change here, verse 8, it's the same one mentioned in verse 6. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. You know, Paul had a surname, Saul, and Saul and Paul were the same one. Well, here, Bar-Jesus and Elymas, the sorcerer, they're the same one, withstood them, seeking to turn the deputy away from the faith. You know, that's one thing about a false preacher or a false prophet. They don't want nobody to tell somebody anything other than what they tell them. And he's a false prophet. He didn't have the good news. He didn't have the truth. And he's seeking to turn them away from the deputy, from the faith. Verse number 8. And verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. I want you to notice, Paul didn't just set his eyes on him. You notice that term? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I had an episode similar. This happened to me. Hadn't been saved very long. Didn't know really much of nothing. But we had a good church service at Bevel. And I come home and not knowing one another, I love the Lord, had more zeal than I had anything. I decided I was going to have me an upper room experience. I told my wife, go ahead and go to bed. I was going to go upstairs and spend the night with the Lord. And even though my motive was sincere and pure, I didn't know what was coming the next morning. But I stayed up there and I prayed and I read my Bible and I prayed and I read my Bible. And about that time I started hearing the birds singing outside. And I went over and opened up our window to our upstairs. We had 3 bedrooms upstairs and 3 bedrooms downstairs, more house than we needed, I tell you that right now. But I opened up that window in that upstairs bedroom, looked at that window, and boy, it was pretty. I said, Lord, the heavens declare your glory. I said, there sure is a lot of glory up there tonight. And it kept getting daylight. I went back to reading, back to praying. And all of a sudden, I heard a door knock down there downstairs. And I wasn't about to leave my upper room, go down there and answer that door. So I stayed up there. And that door just kept knocking. I said, I'm not coming down. I'm staying up here. And they kept knocking. Finally, I mean, I didn't want to. Finally, I come out of my upper room. And I went down there and opened up that door. And there was a very petite, grandmotherly type woman standing there on my doorstep. And she said, sir, I'm selling cancer. Remember, I'm about 3 sheets in the Holy Ghost. Been all night long with the Lord. She said, sir, I'm selling cancer insurance. And I just wonder if you'd be interested in any. Now, when you're 3 sheets in the Holy Ghost, you may not do like I did. I said, no, ma'am, I don't need no cancer insurance. I said, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Or I tell you what, I said, I'm saved. I said, it covers everything. I believe it's what it said. But anyway, she said, wow. She stuck her hand out. I shook her hand. And she impressed me. I said, would you like to come in and get a glass of tea? She very, very well dressed, very godly looking woman, long dress, pretty hair all fixed up, you know, right way, very neat and everything. And her name was Sharon. I said, Sharon, would you like to come in and get a glass of tea? She said, I'd love to. Now, remember, I don't really know what's going on. I just realized this woman's on my doorstep. I've been upstairs having me an upper room experience. And I fixed her a glass of tea. And Brother Patrick, for some reason or other, to this day, I have no idea why I've done this. But I said, Sharon, the Bible said if you so much as give a glass of cold water in Jesus' name, you'll receive a reward. I said, I give this glass of tea to you in the name of Jesus. That changed everything. I'm talking about that changed everything. She could not drink that tea. She spilled tea all over our house. She tried with both hands, tried to drink that tea. And then she set that tea down. We had like a little counter right there. And she went over and fell across our kitchen sink. And she started snarling and growling and howling. And that may be the reason I ain't got no hair on my head now, I'll be honest with you. But what hair I had stood straight up, I can tell you this. I realized something was going on. And I didn't know really what to do, but I knew I had to do something. I had my babies back there in bed, my wife back there in bed. And I was dumb enough to go over and tap this woman on the shoulder that was snarling and growling and howling right there in my kitchen on the countertop. And I can't do like she did, but I mean, I never heard such a light in my life. And it wasn't funny, but it is now looking back on it. But when I tapped her on the shoulder, she leaped up off of that kitchen counter, and I'm right over here, and she come down on me like this right here. I'm in the corner. You know, the Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I would have run if I could have. I was cornered. There wasn't no way out. And I went down. I thought, this is it. I'm fixing to die. I mean, I done read enough Bible. No, there were seven sons of one deceiver. Took on themselves to cast out a devil out of a man. And the devil and the man said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? And they left that house wounded, naked. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm fixing to die right here, right now. But God intervened, even though I didn't know what was going on. Right about the time she was fixing to grab a hold of me, she turned and ran out of our house. And I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world is going on? She went out of our house snarling, growling, howling, come back in our house, went out of our house snarling, growling, howling, went back out, went back in, back out, back in. Finally, here come my wife down the hall rubbing her eyes. I hear this woman come. She ran out of our house. My wife said, what is going on? I said, I don't know. That's why I'm telling you about this story here tonight. If you'll notice, it said, Paul, then filled with the Holy Ghost. I realized I needed to do something. I didn't really know what to do. But when she came in my house this next time, I said, Sharon, come over here, man. I want to talk to you. She stopped as soon as I said, come over here. Come right straight to me. I pulled out a chair at our table. And I sat her down, and I sat down right beside her. My wife, having good sense, she sat the other end of the table. And I said, Sharon, I said, are you sure you're saved by the Holy Ghost? No, I'm saying, I said, you sure you're saved? She said, see, let me get this right. I said, Sharon, are you sure you're saved? And she grabbed her throat and looked real funny like, why can't I talk? And she nodded her head like it's right here. My wife, she said, honey, where do you go to church at? Again, she grabbed her throat, looked real funny, like, why can't I talk? And she pointed to the flyers on our table. Have no idea what any of that means. I know the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. Not every spirit confesses Christ of God. Hereby know you the spirit of Christ. Every spirit confesses Christ, the flesh of God. And every spirit confesses not Christ in the flesh is not of God. But there's the Antichrist, where I've told you, even now it's in the world. And I said I was going to try the spirits. So I said, Sharon, are you sure you're saved by the blood of Jesus? And so help me God. When I said the blood of Jesus, Sharon screamed bloody murder, pulled her dress over top of her head, kicked her chair back, ran out of our house, got in her car, sped off, and I didn't know this the next morning, totaled her car, put her in the hospital. And my cousin, Barry Ford, he was still alive back then. He worked at Wheaties Record Service. He's one towed her car into Wheaties over there, and her husband showed up to pick up her car, said he was a preacher. And my cousin Barry said, there's the car. He said, just $40 record bill. And my cousin told me he never heard such cussing in his life come from a man that said he was a preacher. And he said they had to lock the car up to keep him from taking it. But I just want to tell you, sometimes things aren't all that they look like to be. Well, Paul here, and I wish that never happened, but it did. That was in my house. That was something like 30-some years ago, maybe even 35 years ago. Here, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason I'm making such issue here is God didn't tell me to do nothing. If God had said, Eddie, I want you to cast that devil out of her, I would have did it. I wanted to do something. But I didn't want to do something I shouldn't do, and I didn't want to get my head ripped off, and I didn't want my family to be killed. But if God had told me to do something, I would have done it. Now, I was just a babe in Christ, and here Paul is. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now, I wanted to help Sharon. I did. I just didn't know what to do. Paul knew exactly what he's doing. He set his eyes on him. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 10, he said, O full of all sublimity and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? He didn't mince his words.
Mama.
rebuke that came from Paul was through that false prophet. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul told Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, make full proof of thy ministry. And I left out verse number 9 here. Paul being full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, it was the Holy Ghost that sent Paul and Barnabas in verse number 2. But in John 15, verse 5, we're just branches. Without the help of God, we can't do nothing anyway. I meant to put that in there and forgot that. But here, the rebuke of Paul, he didn't mince his words. He didn't try to sugarcoat nothing. I mean, he called him what he was, a child of the devil there in verse number 10. And not only that, he pronounced a sentence upon him there in verse number 11. Not only rebuke, but also the consequences. Verse number 11, he said, now behold the hand of the Lord. Now notice this ain't Paul doing this. He said, behold now the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. That's a year. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. So you see the difference between real and fake. You see the opposition here was at a disadvantage because the Holy Ghost of God had sent Paul and Barnabas for this very work, because this deputy wanted, desired to hear the word of God there in verse number 7. And this opposition, this sorcerer, caused him to have this consequences here of being struck blind. It wasn't as bad as Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, but he was struck blind. Now, verse 12, when the deputy, when he saw what was done, here's a very important word, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Remember, he wanted to hear the word of God, verse 7. Now he's seen the word of God in action. He saw this false prophet struck blind. And you know what? He believed, astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. That deputy, he saw the authority of God, and he himself believed. There's a lot of deception going on down here, Dave. There's a lot of people, no more than blind leaders of the blind. You know, one thing that really stands out in this, that deputy saw something real. I like real. You know, it don't have to be perfect, long as it's real. Sometimes I get the cane hippets, and that just means I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll tell you what, I know I'm going to do something, because something bigger than me is kind of, I don't know, kind of putting up on me to do something. Sometimes I'll shout over that nursing home service today. I had to raise my hand up, just praise God, because my wife was there with me, and you know, little Lucy and little Chase there singing just a minute ago. I mean, I was saying hallelujah with them. Sometimes, you know, it gets bigger than you. Sometimes, and I like it when it's real. I like it, you know, when it gets down in your heart, down in there, and I don't know how to explain it, but you can't help, you can't be still, you can't be silent. You got to stand up, you got to shout, you got to raise a hand or something. Well, this deputy saw something that was real, and it caused him to believe. Now, I want you to know that false prophet, that sorcerer, he got the first shot at this deputy. He had deceived him. And he had kind of kept him from the truth. And now the truth shows up. And he believed when he saw that authority of the Word of God. And then you got down here, number verse, here's that what we're talking about tonight. The salvation of this deputy was due to the fact that he saw something real. But it don't stop there. Verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. Remember, they took John with them. And he came with them, you know, to minister to them. In verse number 5, he's a young man, John is. But this shook John up. And it was more than he was expecting to see. You know, a lot of young people, they haven't been through what some of the soldiers of the cross have been, and sometimes fearful sights. Sometimes, you know, their little boat gets rocked, and they get a little bit troubled. Well, John, he departed from them and and returned to Jerusalem because this was just too much for him. He wasn't expecting this opposition. He wasn't expecting this showdown. And even though this deputy got saved, he didn't feel like, you know, he wanted to see any more of that. And that's not all of it. You go over Acts chapter 15. And because of him departing, well, here in Acts chapter 15, verse number 37, Barnabas here determined to take with them John, his surname was Mark, which is that same young boy that departed from them. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, not with them till the work. John had deserted them. John had went back to Jerusalem. And the contention was so sharp between them, talking about Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark, or John, and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being reconciled or recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, one more place here, and that's 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just to show you how things go, even though that terrible departure and that terrible separation happened. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul makes another statement about John Mark. And that's found in verse number 11. Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." So you see how this terrible desertion, terrible separation was all patched all back up. And Paul now, he wants John Mark there with him. Amen. But the lost, they need help. They can't get saved. That's why we're here. We're here not only with the Word of God, but we're here in any way we can to help them. Have a track on you. Hey, have an opportunity. Get an opportunity. I tell you what, I do believe we're in a perilous time right now. A lot of things going on, just so people realize just how bad it is. Last year, 320,000 criminals from prisons were flown into this country at 42 different airports in America. And they were given, let me see if I wrote this down. I got this off of the news today. They were given where did I write that down? There you go. 32,000, they give entitlement checks. They're released in America anywhere they wish to be. It's called the U.S. Parole Program. Why don't they use that on the January 6th bunch up there? Man, I'm telling you, Guantanamo Bay's got better what they got, amen. But 45 American airports, and I heard through the grapevine that their goal is to attack white rural voters. Now, I don't know all what that means, but 320,000 illegal, not just illegal immigrants, but illegal convicts from prisons have been paroled through the U.S. parole program. They get free airplane rides. They get free entitlement checks. They get free cell phones, released into America anywhere they wish to be. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'll tell you what. Be a good time to get in. I already said I believe it's going to be a defining year. Just because of things like that. Things like what we talked about before we turned the cameras on. There's just a lot going on in this country right now. But God has not changed. Heaven's not changed. The door is wide open with a welcome mat on it. If you're out there lost today, today would be a good day to find your way to Jesus. That little boy there, I told him, I said, "Look, buddy, I said, you keep seeking the Lord. I said, when you do find Him, you'll find peace. You'll find joy. But I said, until you find Him, the reason you don't have peace, don't have joy, is because He wants you to find Him." You know, the Lord got me good and lost. Then the Lord got me good and saved. Now He's got me a witness for Him. Now He's got me working for Him. And I'll tell you what, it's the Lord's work. Amen. And we need to be working. I know churches are probably right now falling through the cracks because of the COVID, because of all the things going on right now. But I tell you, we need to be in church. We need to be singing His song. We need to be excited about all the things that pertain to God. Amen. Oh my. Lost need help. And we can help them. Don't forget Daylight Savings Time this Sunday. Don't forget, bring somebody with you. We got Easter coming up at the end of this month. We're going to have chicken. And I know this, we'll have plenty of people on Easter. I don't know if it's a chicken or Easter egg hunt. But I'll tell you what, I'll take as many. I don't care if it is an Easter egg hunt. I don't care if we're here for that or if we're here for the chicken. I'd like to see God's house full. There's enough people in this community to fill this little church over 10 times or more. And I like to see them in here. I like to see them sitting on the pews. Amen. Amen. So anyway, we invite you, if you don't have nowhere to go to church, invite you to come to Landmark Baptist Church. If you're interested in any way at all in sending any donations to this little ministry, and it is a little ministry, those donations can be sent to our treasurer, Tammy Tibbs, at 4857 Smiths Grove, Scottsville Road, Smiths Grove, Kentucky, 42171. Our address here at the church is Landmark Baptist Church, 2575 Hayes Smiths Grove Road, Smiths Grove, Kentucky, 42171. And we've got a missionary, Brother Rue, that we're going to try to take up an offering, send them some money over in the Philippines. They're just a little work over there, but they're doing a lot. Amen. We're going to try to send them some money too. So anyway, pray for us. And if you want to support us, we would love that. We're just trying to do a work of God. Amen. And anybody got any comments, questions, anything? All right, if not, then let's all stand. And Brother Patrick, I'll get you dismissed in this prayer if you don't mind, brother.
Yeah. Lord, thank you for giving us day and hear your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
We ask you just bless us and all of our friends.
Yes, Father.
Bless anyone that needs help or that's sick.
Help us, Lord.
Lord, we ask that you just continue to walk with us as we finish out this week until we're back in your house again, Lord. And we ask that you just continue to keep us in your thoughts and help us learn everything we need to learn about you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Patrick. Amen. Hallelujah. I like them little feet in here. Amen. No, I love them, have them here. It won't bother me a bit. If I got to hold them in my arms, I'm glad to have them.
Why are you so tall?
Was what, honey?
Why are you so tall?